Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Jim Hightower once said, "The only things fit for the middle of the road are yellow stripes and dead armadillos." That quip reflects today's political landscape, where there's little to no middle road anymore or moderate positions in politics. A recent Pew Research poll backs that up. They found that Republicans and Democrats are more divided along ideological lines, and partisan antipathy is deeper and more extensive than any other point in the last two decades. We want to hear from our listeners. Has a polarization of America impacted your life? Who do you think is to blame? How do we reclaim the middle ground and de-escalate the rhetoric? Or do you think it's only going to get worse? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Jocelyn Kiley, is the Associate Director of Research at the Pew Research Center. Jocelyn, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
So how bad is it?
Well, I think one of the core findings is certainly, as you said, that Republicans have grown more conservative and Democrats grown more liberal over the last 20 years. But I think a secondary thing to point out is that doesn't mean that the American public is inherently polarized. There are still a lot of people who are conflicted in their ideological positions, take as many conservative positions as liberal positions, and even as negative views of the other party have risen, more Democrats have a very unfavorable view of Republicans and more Republicans have a very unfavorable view of Democrats, there are still quite a large number of people who don't feel that way. So I don't think we should be alarmist about the core findings.
So there's still a middle ground in America. There's still moderates in America, but maybe they don't have a political home?
Well, it's true that some of the loudest voices are the people who are what we're calling ideologically consistent. So people who are liberal on all of their political values, and people who are conservative in all of their political values are more likely to participate in elections, to give money to candidates, and so on, than people who are less ideologically consistent. But another thing to think about is that even if people are more consistently liberal or more consistently conservative, that's not the same thing as being necessarily extreme. There's actually a fair amount of extreme views even in the middle, right? People can take strong positions on particular issues, even if they're liberal on some positions and conservative on some positions.
All right, let's go get to the phones. We really want to get listeners involved in this conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, and Tony has called in. Let's get Tony on the air. Welcome. You're on the air. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Dave. You know, I don't want to assign blame to either party, but I do believe that a lot of this came from the 2003 redrawing of Texas, for example, redistricting or redrawing or gerrymandering, whatever you want to call it. And then if you expand it out to the other states, a lot of the gerrymandered districts are just they're protected. These Republicans are protected in this one section that doesn't represent the national view, and therefore they're partisan from that point and don't feel the need to negotiate any type of position. And so they're hard cast in their own political positions. And like I said, then you get Bush v. Gore without having to relitigate that. So I think that the Democrats felt like, you know, we had a surplus that was squandered. And so, you know, I think Democrats have a real viable reason for wanting to go in a different direction, let's just say. And that's just my opinion.
Okay, Tony, thanks for calling in. But his main point was about redistricting, Jocelyn. But we have seen some states manage to get redistricting reform in. Have we seen any lessening of the polarization where we've seen that reform?
Well, what our work focused on is really polarization in the public, and I think there is a lot of political science research and research from others that looks at how, you know, elected officials are polarized. So. And whether, you know, the causes of those are related to redistricting or other elements, there's certainly research out there that says the two parties in Congress, Democrats in Congress and Republicans in Congress, are growing further apart. So while the report that we released last week is about how Republicans in the public and Democrats in the public are further apart, that's also true among elected officials. Though it's hard to imagine that this is something that we can attribute wholly to redistricting. Certainly that's something that I know that a lot of people look to. So.
Okay. Another caller is good on the air. Nancy has called in. Nancy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes. I believe that the big part of the problem, I'm 64 years old, so I remember when things were different, but I think a huge part of the problem is the fact that our people in Washington no longer live in Washington, and there was a time when their kids went to school together, they went to cocktail parties together, and they had to have a personal relationship, and that's no longer required. I think that's huge. And the other problem is the fact that they are focused on reelection half the time that they're serving in office, and because of media the way it is, I mean, there's 24/7 coverage, and and the other thing is just lack of leadership. People are afraid to make the hard decisions because they're so worried about getting reelected, and they're so trying to be so responsive to whatever their constituency is asking them to do. So
Nancy, how have you noticed that the political polarization has impacted you?
Oh my God. Well, it's impacted me in just a sense of demoralization. I mean, I just don't trust my government anymore. I don't trust them to make sound decisions.
Do you find yourself not saying what your political point of view might be? Maybe if you're at a...
Oh, yeah, I have to be very careful because I find that people are so polarized. And my whole point of view is we need to hear each other, hear what we each have to say, and try to... learn from one another's point of view, and that's not happening either in the media or, I mean, I have friends who are very liberal. I have friends who are very conservative. I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm a little bit more liberal on social issues, but I think people are not, and I think that the media has had a lot to do with that because there's so much coverage, as I say, but people are not willing to listen to different points of view.
All right, Nancy, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate hearing from you. And you can listeners, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. So in your research, Jocelyn, over at DePew, did y'all see if one side is more polarized than the other?
I think, it is one of these things where there are just different aspects of polarization. So as we look at ideological polarization, what I've been talking about in terms of ideological consistency, it looks very much like both Democrats have moved to the left and Republicans have moved to the right. And so there's not really one party in particular that's become more ideologically consistent. When it comes to how the parties feel about the other side, there's some evidence that Republicans are a little bit more negative towards the Democratic Party than Democrats are towards the Republican Party, although, again, this has grown in both parties from where it was 20 years ago. So, for instance, today, 38% of Democrats have a very unfavorable opinion of the Republican Party. That's 43% of Republicans who have a very unfavorable opinion of the Democratic Party. And we actually even asked, if people would go so far as to say that the other party has the policies of the other party were a threat to the nation's well-being, and 27% of Democrats said this about the Republican Party, and 36% of Republicans said it about Democrats. So there's a little bit of asymmetry there, but certainly the trend is happening in both parties.
Okay, all right, we're going to get back into this. We're going to take a quick break. We want to hear from listeners about political polarization. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about political polarization. A recent Pew Research poll shows that there is polarization is on both sides, but it is worse now than it has been in the last two decades. And we asking our listeners, what do you think about that as political polarization? Is it impacting you? What do you think is causing this? And how do you think we can de-escalate the rhetoric? Is this hurting America? The number is 210-614-8980. Biscuit Patrick on the air. Patrick is called in. Welcome, Patrick. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good.
The reason I'm calling, you know, your last couple of callers had mentioned that we're not listening to each other. But I see it in a different aspect. You know, we do listen to others, but what happens is, what if something is so far off the mark as far as truth? You know, it seems like we don't have a standard of truth anymore. You know, a politician say a woman doesn't get pregnant, you know, when she's raped. And we know, you know, by science and doctors, you know, medicine, that's not the case. You know, so why can't we just call stupid stupid and move on? It's not that we're being polarized. You know, I'm just saying we have to have that standard to say, okay, this person's wrong, we got to move on.
Well, in that case, the politician was sanctioned pretty hard. I'm sure that a lot of people told him, you shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but we have a lot of people that will believe that point of view. And, you know, again, where can we say, okay, wait, science says you're wrong, and you have to admit that you're wrong at some point.
All right, we got you. Thank you for those comments,
Thank
Patrick.
You.
We appreciate that. So, Jocelyn, let me ask you about the how much they hold the other party in contempt, and how that has become a problem. And it seems like is that also equal, that both parties are doing the same thing?
Well, you know, as I said, certainly the degree of negativity towards those on the other side has grown in both parties. So it's not as though, certainly, you know, Democrats have never been particularly fond of the Republican Party and vice versa. That's nothing new in American politics. But the extent of that feeling is deeper and more negative than it's been in the past. So, you know, one of the things that we looked at is ratings of the two parties. And even though the majority of Democrats and the majority of Republicans back in the 90s said they had an unfavorable impression of the other side, you know, now they're twice as likely to say that impression is very unfavorable. And, you know, if you look at ratings of the presidents, one of the interesting things is that, you know, again, no surprise, Republicans like Republican presidents, Democrats like Democratic presidents, but the extent to which people dislike presidents that aren't of their own party has grown considerably. If you look back to the time of, you know, Eisenhower, Johnson, Reagan, you just didn't have that same level of just fundamental disapproval of a president from the opposite side that you see today. Both George W. Bush and Barack Obama have approval ratings from the respective other sides, just 14% that are in the tank, right? So just 14% of Republicans on average approve of Obama. And for Bush, his numbers were similarly low, particularly in the second part of his administration. But even Clinton's numbers were not as bad among Republicans as Obama's are today and as Bush's were throughout his administration.
Okay.
So things are getting a little worse.
They're getting worse. And how much worse can it get? We shall see. Let's get Martin on the air. Martin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, hey, yeah, I just want to give a little preface. I'm very much left of even Obama and so forth. And one of the things that I have issues with, and I don't really care if you're a Republican, it's just whether or not you have the facts straight. And I think the last caller, I was just tuning in when the last caller was talking about something about someone saying something that's infactually wrong. You know, I can't side for the other side even remotely when some of the statements that they make, such as about climate change, about minimum wage, they're completely based on fiction. And that's what some you know, people on the right tend to, like the extreme right, tend to believe in, and there's nothing to back it up. So my contempt towards them is we can't even agree upon the same facts to have a logical argument to begin with. And I think that's part of the polarization, is they just like, no, I don't believe in what you're saying, you're wrong, instead of actually addressing policy issues and addressing facts on the ground.
And why do you think that is, Martin?
I'll give you one case. The Affordable Care Act is actually a Heritage Foundation policy measure against universal health care that the far left, like myself, and originally Hillary Clinton was for. Obama took a Republican conservative position on how to make health care affordable for all Americans, and just because it was a Democrat that was proposing it, it became anathema to the Republican right, regardless of the fact it came from the Republican right. So they just need to have someone to be a target, regardless of what the actual facts or the policy is.
All right, Martin, appreciate your phone call. And so Jocelyn Kiley of the Pew Research Center, I guess there's no way to actually look at these numbers and the polling data that you have to see where the facts come from, or where these are just people's opinions. It's their truthiness of where they are.
Right. Certainly, we don't have anything that speaks directly to what these callers said, except that I will say one of the other questions that we have in this survey is about how important it is to live somewhere where people share their political views. We also ask people whether their close friends share their political views, and we definitely find evidence that both those on the right and the left, people who are consistently conservative in their views or consistently liberal in their views, are more likely than others to say that it's important to live somewhere where people share their political views. So, and this is particularly true on the right. So there's one way that I can speak to that phenomenon that both of your callers are speaking about is that there seems to be evidence that some people want to listen to people that they agree with or talk with people that they agree with. And again, this is happening a little bit on the left and the right.
And so when people are sorting like that according to their political point of view, so the people who are very right-wingish may want to move into certain neighborhoods, or maybe people are more liberal, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've asked a number of questions along these lines, and you know, one of the sort of most interesting things that we found is in a question that really is not political in any way, whether you would prefer to live in a neighborhood with small houses where things like schools, stores, and restaurants are within walking distance, or a place where the houses are larger and further apart, but these things are several miles away, you actually find a tremendous ideological divide that liberals, three-quarters of liberals want to live somewhere where schools and stores are in walking distance, even if they live in smaller houses, and three-quarters of consistent conservatives say larger houses further apart is something that they would prefer. And so, again, it's not a political question, but if something like that has such a political divide, it has potentially implications for how much conservatives and liberals talk to one another, expose to one another, share, you know, sort of basic political needs in their communities.
Okay, back to the phone lines. Marcia has called in. Marcia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just have one question. Is how much does race play into this polarization that we're talking about today?
Okay, good question, Marcia. Thank you for calling in with that. Jocelyn, race?
You know, one of the interesting things is if you take race out of the equation and you just look at the attitudes of white Democrats and white Republicans, you see the same pattern that we see overall. So it's not a matter of the Democratic Party being more ethnically diverse and blacks and Hispanics being more liberal. We know that is generally true, that blacks and Hispanics tend to gravitate more towards the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. But even if you just control for race and you just look at white Democrats and white Republicans, you see a movement apart. So this isn't this shift, this growing ideological polarization isn't something that we would attribute to racial composition of the parties.
Okay. And Steve has called in. Let's get Steve on the air. Welcome to The Source, Steve. Hey there.
Yeah, I pretty much think that a lot of the polarization and what's going on is due to social media and the ability for people with a bit of money or just a very loud voice to get themselves heard. And there's still the silent majority out here. We're still there. But you get a lot of people that have so much volume that they tend to drown out the rest of the conversation. And if you get someone saying something over and over and over again loudly enough, whether it's the truth or not, it becomes the truth, and it sets people off. So I think a lot of it has to do with social media being so quick, and also the television talking heads that can put things out on the air so quickly.
Okay, Steve. Appreciate your call. So, Jocelyn, he's kind of talking about siloing. People are self-selecting their information that they receive. And how does that boil down in your study?
You know, we didn't really address that very much in this study. We've got a line, this is a continuing line of research for us, and so we've got a lot of data that we're just diving into right now on just these kinds of questions about the sort of media that people are exposed to. I don't have any findings yet to report on those, but just to say that that's an important aspect of this conversation about polarization. So.
Well, I'm looking at the study, I think I'm looking at it, and it says while ideological silos are more common on the right than on the left, what's equally as striking is how little it matters for those with a mix of liberal and conservative views.
Well, right. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is that the people with a mix of liberal and conservative views, it's not so much that most of their close friends, it's not so much that they have a diverse set of friends, politically diverse set of friends, but many of them don't even know where their friends' political positions are, and so it's definitely not true that they're siloed in terms of choosing places based on their political views or saying that most of their close friends share their political views. But there's some indication that people with mixed ideological views are a little bit more disengaged from politics in general, and that may be related to why they vote at lower rates and they contribute less and participate less.
Right, it's become a kind of a hostile environment if you're not if you don't sync up with everyone around you sometimes. Jocelyn Kiley, Associate Director of Research at the Pew Research Center, talking about their recent study about political polarization in America. Thank you so much, Jocelyn, for joining us.
Sure, thank you.
And this is The Source on KSTX.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Tomorrow on The Source, the criminal conviction of people who are infected with HIV but who continue to be sexually active without disclosing. It happens in many states. It's a felony in 29 of them, and it doesn't require that people actually transmit the disease. While the laws are popular among those with and without HIV, health and legal experts argue that the laws are counterproductive. That's on The Source tomorrow at 3 here on KSTX.